Budget uncertainty will likely go on for yet another month, presuming Congress passes a continuing resolution. That would be number 5. The great question of immigration will likely continue unsolved, but you might find it a little harder to know the calorie count of shrimp scampi at Applebee's. What's going on the Hill for the rest of this week? Here's Bloomberg Government Editorial Director Lauren Duggan. With everything going on, they're talking about fast food chain menus.
Well, you know, there's a lot of things on Congress's plate all the time, and this is one of those. This is actually going back to the Obamacare debate. That law required the FDA to put out some rules governing how restaurants display this information, and some critics have said that it's too much of a one-size-fits-all approach. So the bill coming up in the House this week would tell the FDA to reissue its rules for displaying this information and give restaurants a little bit more flexibility in how they display the calories, how they determine what a serving size is, things like that. So this is something that's been lobbied on a lot by different restaurant chains. Some of the names you can think about, McDonald's, Domino's, big providers like that. And this is, you know, one of the many things on Congress's agenda. This is one of them, I guess, this week.
All right, well, that's good to know, but what about the shutdown and what is the likely outcome? I mean, the signs and the smoke signals seem to be another CR.
That certainly seems to be the direction we're heading in. The shutdown vibes are lower this time than they were, obviously, just a few weeks ago when we had the 3-day government shutdown over the weekend and then on a Monday. The Democrats in the House have to leave on Wednesday to go to their retreat in Cambridge, Maryland, which more or less gives a kind of deadline for action in the House to then send something over to the Senate. It seems likely that we'll get a CR of some length to keep the government operating, get us past the planned President's Day break, and give negotiators more time on both immigration and the underlying spending debate that has kind of remained stuck for months here.
By the way, will they be taking the train to their retreat?
That I don't know. I mean, it's certainly been a bad week for Amtrak and train accidents for sure, and referencing the unfortunate accident where the train to the Greenbrier that Republicans were on did hit a truck and unfortunately killed a man.
But, yeah, sure.
Yeah, it was tough. That. And then, of course, over the weekend, we had another crash down in Columbia. So transportation very much on the mind there. But not sure exactly how they're getting out to Cambridge. Maybe buses this time.
Now, the deferred action for childhood arrivals expires March 5th. Is that the date on which the next CR would presumably end this time?
It could be then, or it could be longer. I haven't seen the text yet of the CR, but that March 5th date is very important, although many immigration advocates argue that the deadline is already happening for some people, and when you think about the uncertainty that exists there, that's kind of already starting to affect people covered by that program. What's not clear to me is whether they can come to some sort of broader agreement that hits on the four principles or pillars that the president talked about in the State of the Union, which is about dealing with the DACA recipients or that population, border funding and other security funding, and then changing the rules for family unification, immigration, and getting rid of the visa lottery. Those are four things that are still being talked about, and negotiators in both chambers are trying to come up with a package, but that still seems stymied a little bit at this vantage point.
But is it still the case that the immigration question is intertwined with the budget question?
Absolutely. I mean, I don't think that it will force a shutdown the way it did back in January. But Mitch McConnell, as part of the agreement that allowed the government to reopen, said it was his intention to let a bill get to the floor soon after February 8th on immigration. So we could see something on the floor if that timetable holds as soon as this week or maybe early next week. Now, what that is and how broad that agreement or that piece of legislation is remains to be seen. We could see a pretty open, freewheeling debate where people try to offer a lot of different ideas, or we could see a very slimmed-down debate that maybe just deals with this DACA question and maybe one or two other things. That's something we'll be tracking this week to see how that's shaping up.
We're speaking with Lauren Duggan, editorial director of Bloomberg Government. And over the weekend, the word came that there was a bill between Chris Coons of Connecticut, Democratic senator, and Republican John McCain of Arizona, who's not even in Washington, that had everything on immigration except the wall. And I guess the question is, what would be their motivation for doing that, knowing that it was not going to go anywhere in the House, probably?
Well, I think that they're just trying to get something going, get a bill maybe that you can get 60 or 70 members of the Senate behind, send it over to the House, try to create some momentum. But the bill that the Senate is likely to produce with its more open and more freewheeling debate could be very different than a House package, where if you hold to that Hastert rule, which is that a majority of the Republican majority has to back it, then it'll be interesting to see how such a bill would come together there, where it's likely to be a little bit harder line on things like border security funding and some of the visa programs. So, you know, I think people are kind of working together, meeting in one room and then going to another room and trying to find other people and just scrambling to try and get something going on this, because they know time is limited here to do something on this issue.
Yeah, because by going to continuing resolution for the fifth time, it seems like Congress is training itself to do the wrong thing very, very effectively.
Well, the kicking the can issue has been a reality for many years. We wrote a piece just recently about that, and the number of continuing resolutions every year and the amount of time covered seems to keep going up. The real challenge here is we still don't have an agreement on how much to spend for fiscal 2018 or fiscal 2019 on the top line. We have the Budget Control Act spending caps, but most people agree that, particularly on the defense side, that's not enough money. And Democrats would say the same on the non-defense side, where they're seeking some sort of parity in increases there. So until you figure out how much you're spending in total, it makes it very hard to figure out what to spend on each department and agency as you write the bills. And we're also kind of running up against now the administration putting out its budget request, which we are anticipating seeing on Monday. And no one's quite sure what that budget is going to be written to, because, again, we don't have this top line number for fiscal 2019 that would seem key to writing a budget request and figuring out how much you're spending.
I mean, ultimately, in the grand scheme of things, not to be too cynical about it, but the differences they're arguing are such a tiny percentage of the federal outlays, if you throw in all of the federal outlays, that you wonder what the argument really is about.
Right. In a budget where you're getting close to $4 trillion a year, we're really talking about $54 or $70 billion, something like that, in terms of what you would increase on the defense side and potentially on the non-defense. But this focus on discretionary spending and trying to curb that has been a major priority. Entitlements, which are the main driver of the budget and where expenses just keep growing and growing and growing, it's much harder to touch those. They aren't addressed on an annual basis, and they're kind of harder to get your arms around. And we saw when the Republicans were out at the Greenbrier in West Virginia that they said they wouldn't try to use a fast-track procedure to push some entitlement cuts this year. So that may be put off until next year if they're still in the majority and still have the ability to pursue that.
Now, there is one or two precedents where they did pass a defense budget for the year, for that current fiscal year, but left the rest of the government in an eternal CR until the following year. Any chance of that happening?
I mean, that seems like the ultimate fallback here. The one question is, can they get an agreement to raise the caps or turn off the dreaded sequestration that would have to occur if they did fund defense at a higher level than the caps allow? So this cap remains a sticking point, and you have to get around it somehow to allow that greater amount of money to be spent.
So they've got the axe in the ceiling, and everybody's afraid of it, but they won't pull it down.
Well, they'd like to, but again, that agreement has been elusive. But every couple of days when you check in or hear from the Hill, you sense they're getting closer on a deal there. But this has been a negotiation for several months now.
Lauren Duggan is editorial director of Bloomberg Government. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
We'll post this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive. Subscribe to all of our interviews at iTunes or Podcast One.